Blog Talk Radio.
Life seems to crush your dreams, so find your balance for all your needs. A little work, some family fun. Find your love, keep your life on the run. Told you how the story goes, so write your own script before you grow old. Live your life, laugh out loud. Own who you are, stand up proud. You gotta find what works for you. Find a balance that lets you be you.
Good evening and welcome to the Star Chamber Show live podcast. It is a wonderful Wednesday evening in central Kentucky, where I, Stephen Zimmer, am broadcasting to you live, yes, here on November the 1st, kicking off a new month, and definitely an exciting one. A lot going on, a lot to tell you about, and of course, it does pertain pretty heavily to tonight's discussion, and we'll be joined by a couple of awesome writers during the course of tonight's show. Again, we will be just doing a slightly shorter show than usual. We'll be going an hour format tonight. I'll be hosting solo tonight. Unfortunately, Becca got called into her other job at the last moment. So, yes, it's just me. Holly is going to be hopefully returning to Central Kentucky this Saturday, and she should be back on the show next Wednesday. So yeah, tonight you're stuck with me. So there you go. But chat room is open. It is working. And we do have a couple of folks in there. We got award-winning authors in there, both of them. Author and screenwriter, Carol Preflatish and Sandy Lender, the genre blender. So yes, it is going to be a good night and we're going to have a lot of fun and we're going to talk about a lot of stuff, but obviously, as tonight is, well, not tonight, all nights, we are affiliated with the Imaginary Convention. We always want to give you updates about everything going on with the convention. And as usual, we're busy every week, so there's always a lot of cool stuff to tell you about. This week, we could tell you about new workshops that have been posted up. We also get to tell you about some new spotlighted guests and panelists. So first of all, I will tell you about the four new panelists that have been announced since last week. We proudly welcome Marion Allen, yes, per Bostet Publications, John Bukowski, Sarah Doby Bauer, and Brian Haas, all as official panelists. And yes, Brian Haas is attending for the very first time and has amazing work. And so definitely want to read up on him and find out more about him if you're attending this coming year, because yeah, he's a new panelist. And then we have the return of Sarah Doby Bauer, and she has always been one of my favorites. And she last was at Imaginarium, I believe, in 2019. So she hasn't even gotten to see our awesome venue that we're in now. So she's going to love it. But she is a romance author and horror model. So isn't that pretty cool? Yeah, horror genre model. So, yeah, she's really an amazing talent, a lot of fun, high energy. And, yeah, definitely read up on her. And, of course, Marion Allen and John Bukowski are absolute, definite favorites of our programming. And, of course, Marion Allen is one of those folks that hosts one of the best room parties in Imaginary, in the Per Bostet Publications Room Party, which has some of the best food that you will find at any convention room party. Just absolutely awesome. And also, we recognize two spotlighted guests this week. And one I'm really happy is finally making it here. Won an Imagine Award for Best Thriller Novel and finally is going to be attending in person as a spotlighted guest. And that would be award-winning author, editor, and publisher and podcaster Van Allen Plexico. And yeah, he's really, really impressive. He has 21 novels, and of those, five of them won Best Novel Awards in nationally recognized awards. And those are in four different genres among those five novels. So yeah, he's won a lot of awards. He's also written six nonfiction books, and numerous short stories and articles, and he's also edited and assembled several award-winning anthologies and pop culture guidebooks. But also, as if that's not enough, his White Rock Entertainment Network has done a lot in the area of pop culture podcasts about James Bond, Babylon 5, The Avengers, and others, and he's totaled over a million of seven figures downloads for his podcast. So, yeah, absolutely a great guy, and already has an Imagine Award. He didn't attend in person that year, they won it. So, but yes, I'm very excited to have Van Allen Plexico joining us. And then earlier today, we announced that award-winning screenwriter, filmmaker, and actor Sylvia Wolfe Bush is going to be coming back to Imaginarium. Of course, it ties to something we're going to talk about shortly. He's hosting a film workshop on firearm safety on set. Yeah, he's got just immense range of experience. He's such a superb filmmaker and screenwriter. And, I mean, he's worked along a lot of industry names. I mean, I'll throw a few of you that he's acted with in the past. Adam Driver, Kiefer Sutherland, Kelly McGillis, James Spader, Willem Dafoe, Charlize Theron. And, I mean, the list goes on. He's been in a lot of projects. And, yeah, he's got extensive experience. He's got a military career and extensive background in security and, firearms expertise. And so, yeah, he's going to be given just an amazing workshop, which is a great segue to tell you about what has been added. The first seven workshops have been announced. And so I'll give you I wish I had the time to give you the full descriptions because they are just awesome. But I will be able to give you at least the titles and the presenters. We have Authors Selling Direct, presented by USA Today bestselling award-winning author Hallie Bridgman. Then we also have Avoid Boring Character Development, Let's Make Them Interesting, presented by award-winning author and editor Barbara V. Evers, who, of course, you recognize from the Star Chamber show. Yeah, she's been a guest here. And she's also giving another workshop called Creating Graphics Using Book Brush, and that is also presented by Barbara as well. And then the workshop that I mentioned before, Firearms and Film, presented by award-winning director, actor, and screenwriter Sylvia Wolfe Bush. And then next, we have How to Write Book 2 or 3 Without Getting Harassed by Code Enforcement. And the presenter is award-winning author and editor, Imaginarium favorite and Star Chamber favorite, of course, Sandy Lender. Yep, Sandy's giving a big workshop next summer, and it's going to be a dandy. I mean, go read the description of that one on the site. And then we have Making a Point Without Preaching. And this is a good one. If you want to write effective faith-based fiction, the presenter for this one is best-selling award-winning author Virginia Smith. She is so amazing. She's just on the Star Chamber show a couple weeks ago. So if you missed that episode, catch that. We'll, of course, have her back before Imaginarium arrives in 2024 because Virginia is just awesome. And so, yeah, check that out because that's going to be a really very, very interesting workshop. And I'm really interested in that. I hope I can get away to drop in on that one myself. And then we have Marathonarium 2 Premium Workshop. And, yes, yours truly, that's me, Stephen Zimmer, as an author editor. I will be presenting that. It is coming back by popular demand. Writers in the first one wanted it back. Writers that didn't get a chance the first time wanted it. And so, yes, I got talked into it. So, yeah, we'll be running that next summer. Seven of the 15 spots are already confirmed and secured, so there's only 8 spots remaining. It is a premium workshop with a small additional fee. So, yeah, check the site on that. You can register for that now. But, yeah, it's going to be a short story marathon workshop. They'll work with me as an editor to polish it up, and then it will be released as the Marathonarium 2 anthology at the 2025 Imaginarium festivities. So, yes, it's going to be a great batch of programming. This is only the beginning. We're going to have over 130 workshops and panels. We even have an additional room to use this coming year for our programming. So there's going to be more programming than ever. But these are the first seven. So, yes, very exciting times, and I'm pretty excited about that. So, yes, we're looking in the chat room. Yes, I want to say hi to Clayton Barnett and Amy McCorkle, and hello to everybody there, and then I'll try to keep it up with you guys as well. But again, I'm solo tonight, but I do want to, before we go too much farther on our topic of the evening, I do want to recognize tonight's awesome folks that brought you the show, and of course that is the amazing Sandy Lender and the folks at Per Bostet Publications. So Sandy has a brand new spot coming up for the holiday season here, so we're going to debut that, and I'll give you a little bit about Per Bostet.
Give someone you love the gift of adventure for Christmas. Help them escape reality with an epic fantasy, dragon, girl power, sword and sorcery saga that thrills and entertains. Send your loved ones to Unveiled for the holidays with a novel from author Sandy Lender. Visit Sandy's author page on Amazon or her website at authorsandylender.com and make it a fantastic Christmas.
Nice, nice. Even got the jingle bell touch at the beginning and at the end. And yes, everybody's making choices for their holiday season purchases. So make a good one and pick up some Sandy Lender books, folks. Thank you, Sandy. And now a little bit about Per Bostet. Per Bostet Publications is a small press based in the Louisville metro area, specializing in speculative fiction and other outside-the-box books. With 40 titles in print and ebook formats and a handful of audiobooks, Per Bostet offers a little bit of everything. Follow the investigations of Private Eye, David Blaze, and M.B. Dabney's An Untidy Affair, a historical mystery set during the 1985 police bombing of the Move House in Philadelphia. Or join the psychic private investigator Alan Rodriguez in New Mexico in A Handful of Dirt by Janie Franz as he tries to clear an elderly man wrongfully accused of murder. You can find these titles and more at perbostetpublications.com at Amazon. Find the press in person at regional events such as Prime Crime in Indianapolis in October and in 2024 at In Conjunction in Indianapolis and Louisville's Imaginarium Convention in July. Per Bostet Publications, where timeless tales unfold. Thank you, T. Lee Harris, Sarah Marion, and Marion Allen, who we're talking about tonight as a new announced official panelist. So, yes, and looking forward to seeing all of them next summer. So, but, yes, we're getting ready. I'm going to bring three – I'll get it out of my mouth here eventually. We will be bringing aboard a writer here in a second on a call-in, but I do want to give a quick intro to tonight's topic. Obviously, it's November the 1st, and with November, yes, writers everywhere have everywhere across the nation around the world participate in NaNoWriMo. And NaNoWriMo, of course, is a longtime event that started with less than two dozen people back in July of 1999. How about that? Less than two dozen people back in 1999. And as of today, I mean, it's well over half a million participants, you know, worldwide. And they basically, it's a, you know, set 30-day writing challenge, and writers have, you know, word count goals every day, and starts on 12 a.m. on November the 1st and ends on November 30th at 11:59. And yes, the novels must reach a minimum of 50,000 words before the end of November in order to win, and that is, you know, complete this challenge. And the words can be a novel, complete novel, 50,000 words, or the first 50,000 words of a novel to be completed later. So yes, this is a very intensive writing event. Involves a lot of people. There are groups online. There's groups that meet in person, support groups for NaNoWriMo. It's a really amazing event in many respects. But as with anything, there's pros and cons. And so, yeah, we'll get into some perspectives tonight on the event itself. But yes, it's something with a lot of high energy, a ton of writers participating. Your social media feeds are probably blowing up right now with references to it. And yeah, it's just a really big event for writers. So I'm going to be talking about that tonight and discussing it as everybody embarks on their first day, or at least a lot of writers are. And I must say at the outset that I myself have never participated in it formally. This is simply because I maintain a very pretty steady year-round writing schedule. So, I never had the need to put myself to that kind of challenge. But that being said, I've always tried to support everyone that does do it, and definitely get excited when folks complete it. And I've seen a lot of projects come out of it that have been really, really good and gone on to become very polished novels and novellas and things like that. And definitely been a really, a very useful thing in a lot of ways. But first, I am going to welcome onto the show one writer who has participated in the past 11 NaNoWriMos, but is not this year. And so this is going to be interesting, an interesting conversation. But she is an award-winning screenwriter and author, and just turned in the manuscript for her fourth Nathan Perry mystery. And just an amazing individual, favorite of the show and the convention. So welcoming on to the show the wonderful Carol Preflatish. And hopefully her mic is going to be turned on any second now. Your mic should be on, Carol. Computer took
Hello.
Its time.
Am I live?
You are live now.
Great.
You are live.
Thanks for having me tonight.
So, yes. This is fantastic to have you. And it's appropriate. There's no way we could do a show on November 1st and not, talk about NaNoWriMo. I mean, like I said, over 500,000 people do it now, and it's just such a massive thing. And I love having you on because, you've been doing it a lot. And the interesting twist is you're not doing it this year. So tonight, I wanted to get into some of your experiences with it, the pros and cons, why you're not doing it this year, things that you think that it has and it does have to benefit authors, all of that. So probably the first thing I would want to get into is give us your history of participating in NaNoWriMo and what got you into it.
Okay, well, as you said, I've participated for 11 years, 11 different times. Each year I started out with a novel. Only one year did I actually make it to the 50,000 words. However, every novel that I started in NaNo eventually became published. So I'm pretty proud of that.
Oh, that's awesome. That is awesome. Yeah, you're definitely an example of one of the folks that, you take the work and polish it up and take it on a path to publication. So, but yeah, 11 years, that's impressive. What are some of the changes that you noticed in NaNo over the years, either with the way writers approach it or just the energy around it? What have you noticed over the 11 years that you were a participant?
I think a lot of the writers really go gung-ho. I mean, they take the month of October to prepare, to do their outlines, to do their research, and they still do that, although I think a little more now they're doing that than when I first started. When I first started, I think everybody just started out and went right to it. As I said, I like to do a lot of prep work for my novels, and I did that in October. It's actually been a couple years since I've participated in it, and I got kind of burned out doing it.
Okay, so it's been 2 years. I didn't know how long ago it was, but I mean, certainly you haven't stopped producing great stuff because, like I said, you just turned in a new Nathan Perry mystery this past summer. You won a screenwriting award, so I mean, you're on a roll. So it certainly hasn't slowed you down not being in it. But what are some of the we'll talk candidly. There are pros and cons. What are some of the reasons you got burnt out with it, and we can go from there?
I think because I worked so hard to get a daily word count done every single day in November that by the time the end of November came, I was so tired of writing. I was so tired of the characters that I couldn't write. I mean, a couple times it took me a couple months before I picked up the book again to start writing on it.
Yeah, I've seen that happen with a few writers that I've observed, And I definitely understand, because like one of the things that I have is that would be a somewhat of a criticism of it is that, yeah, there's a lot of pressure involved on word counts. And not all writers are built the same. Not all writers are the same and, you know, respond differently and they're motivated differently. And so one of the dangers that I've seen happen is that they feel like if, you know, if they're not keeping up with that pace, they quote unquote have failed. And when I think the most, to me, the most important lesson that NaNoWriMo teaches is that, you know, the importance of writing on a regular basis, not binge writing or, you know, writing in bursts, but just getting into a rhythm of writing on a regular basis. I think that's one of the most important things I think that NaNoWriMo can teach. But, you know, there are a lot of writers that, you know, do get burnt out. Putting so much pressure on themselves that they get, discouraged and frustrated if they don't achieve that 50,000 words in a month. So that's just my take on it watching from the outside, but I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
And I agree. And, you know, it does teach you to get used to writing every day, to have a schedule. The last book that I just submitted, I wrote for the last month, I wrote every day on it to get it done. But when I got done with it, I sent it in, I took a couple days off, and then I jumped right back in on another project. I wasn't burned out, even though I wrote every single day for several hours. So I didn't have the pressure on me, I don't think, writing on my own like I felt when I was doing the NaNo.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, just to give another positive, though, is that those that do complete it, it does give you that sense of, a perspective on completing a project and, you know, meeting a deadline. And so, those are two other positive things that I think it contains. As far as that, and because a lot of writers, I've seen writers go for, I'm not joking, I've seen writers that are still working on a manuscript after like 10 years, and they're in like this endless loop of rewrites, and learning how to create how to finish a project is a very important thing for a lot of writers, and I think, you know, one thing that this does do is it forces you to do that, and I think that, you know, a writer, you know, once they realize they can complete a project, I do think it kind of gets them on a better track. But, yeah, completing projects. So,
yeah.
That's
and,
that's,
and, you know, I'm not anti-NaNo. I'm not doing it, but I'm not against it. I just think I put in my years doing it. I know how to write on a schedule now. I know, you know, how many hours a day I can sit at the computer and write before I have to just stop for the day. And I think NaNo prepped me for that, prepared me for that.
Yeah. And that's where it's good. That's where I think it's really strong. Cause I'm like you, I'm just a scheduled person where every single day I start off in the morning with a writing session, and that's just my year round pattern. So it's, I just never felt the need to do a particular thing like this. But because I just stay on a rhythm like that. But I've always taken an interest in it and definitely taken interest in watching all the authors I know with their updates and watching what kind of projects they do. And what kind of projects what kind of tips do you have for people undergoing their, like, first NaNo? Because there's a lot of new participants I know out there. What are some of your tips for staying sane and completing it?
Oh, wow. Have lots of snacks and refreshments ready. not only do you have to have a writing schedule, but for me, for the many of the years that I participated in, I was working a full-time job. So I had to schedule, work. I had to schedule housework, had to schedule cooking dinner. So yeah, you've gotta, I think, be a very organized person for the month of November anyway to get ready and to do all that.
Yeah, Yeah, and definitely for people that are short on time. And that's where I think a lot of the writers get into a little bit of danger, the ones that have a lot of life happens and a lot of job demands and family demands, and they only have so much time. And I think some of those writers tend to be the ones I see that get the most frustrated with keeping up with the word count pace. And when I think what they are doing is the most important thing is they are just simply writing every day, whether it's 500 words, 300 words, 1,000 words. To me, that is more important. And I think that's, that's why I always say that just the lesson of writing consistently and on a regular basis is what is most important, even far beyond word counts. But I think that, the category of writer that you're talking about with the heavy time constraints and job demands, those are some of the ones that I've seen that get a little bit into the danger of discouragement and frustration. But it does have good lessons, and it does force you to really keep organized and on the go, and time management, which I think a lot of writers can benefit from. But there's a lot of positives. But it's massive. I mean, it is the thing in the writing world this month. There's nothing else bigger out there. I mean, we hold
Go ahead.
Carol.
It can be done working full time, because the 1 year that I did complete to the 50,000 word mark, I was working full time that year. I wrote over lunch hour, I wrote over my breaks. But I got it done that year.
Right. Yeah. I mean, 11 years. I mean, that's an impressive run, and it spans an explosive period of growth for Nano. I mean, during that 11-year period, I mean, it's just mushroomed online and with support groups and online groups. And were you ever part of any of those kind of things, like Nano groups? Because there's a lot of them out there.
There were two groups that I participated in. I was a member of an online group called Mom Writers, where more women and with kids. And we had a group that did the Nano, and then a regional group I was a part of here in Indiana. And I even went to a couple write-ins where everybody just gathered at a library or coffee shop or someplace, and you just sat and wrote for hours.
Mm-hmm. And why would you or would you recommend a new Nano participant as far as to join a group? A formal group. Would you encourage that?
No, I think so.
And
you also have to remember that that's going to take time away from your writing. But I mean, there's a lot of online groups on the Nano website that you can go to. They have a lot of chat rooms in there that you can go to, and meet other writers, talk about writing. If you get stuck with something, you can go on there and maybe find somebody. They have mystery groups, romance groups. Just about every genre has a group.
Yeah, I would say that most of the of a Nano group, as far just from my outside perspective, it's less of a critique group than it is a mutual support, encouragement, motivational kind of group kind of vibe. I know there is always going to be some critique elements when writers talk among each other, but it seems like a lot of the Nano groups are for mutual support and encouragement, from what I've seen. Are those is that what your two were mainly like, or did they tilt more critique?
That's pretty much it. They weren't critique at all. We didn't share our writing. If we ran into a problem, I would go on there and say, hey, I'm having problems here and there, and get some advice on that. But we really didn't share anything specific as far as our book or our manuscript itself.
That's what I mean. Yeah, it gets away from kind of like the vibe of a formal writing group, as opposed to, a group that, is specifically about helping you get through Nano and encouraging you to do that. So,
No editing. You're supposed to write with no editing. I mean, you're supposed to sit down and just write.
Yeah, and that fits one of my mantras, because that's something that I harp on all the time. Get it down the page. There's always time for for second, third, fourth, fifth passes and reworking and
exactly.
tweaking later. Get it down on the page. That's the key and to really progressing, I think, in writing and on a project. Just get it down and don't worry about having it perfected on the first pass. Yeah, I think that's actually a very, very good thing. But however, I will say, though, at the end, though, there is a need for writers to remember, yes, you do need an editor before you publish
it. Oh, yeah.
Because there are a lot of writers that I've seen that have basically come out of Nano and they're newer writers and they just go ahead and fling that up on Kindle and I'm like oh boy you know because I can see
yeah,
in their posts and stuff it's not it didn't go through an editor or anything like that and I'm like oh no
you can't quite do that with the first draft.
Yeah, so yeah, that always happens at the end of Nano. So, yeah, I know I'm a little biased. Yeah, Clayton called me out on that. He says I would say that because it means more clients for me. Well, surely I welcome a few, Clayton. You need an editor, you know, before you publish. I mean, I think that just is kind of like a rule, whether you're self-published or traditionally or whatever path. You do need that outside set of eyes,
I've published 12 books, and I would never publish something without an editor.
Same. I would never self-edit. Even being an editor myself, I would never self-edit. I've always had someone else edit my work. So I'm the same. Yeah, so I do walk the walk, at least, Clayton. But tell us, I didn't want to take up too much of your time tonight, but I do want to give you a chance to tell us what's current with you, and then also tell us where folks can connect with you and follow you in your screenwriting and prose journeys.
Okay, well, as you mentioned, I just submitted my fourth Nathan Perry book. It's called Murder in Mystic Hollow. It actually started out as a modern day version of the Legend of Sleepy Hollow. I think as I got more into the book, I kind of got away from that a little bit. But if you're familiar with the Legend of Sleepy Hollow and you read my book, I think you'll see some similarities in that. Since I sent that in, I started working on a short screenplay, which I'm about 75% done with the first draft, and hopefully get that done hopefully in time to submit it to Imaginarium. And then I've also I have another new book that's not a Nathan Perry book that I've got about 4 chapters done on, and I kind of work on it if I get burned out or get tired of working on the screenplay, or if I was tired of working on a Nathan Perry book, I'll switch over to that just to kind of get a fresh perspective on writing. And then I have a longer screenplay that I eventually want to work on. Did want to mention, I know I mentioned this to you the other day.
Yeah.
I just recently won another screenwriting award for Homecoming to Murder.
Congratulations.
Thank you. All I know is I won an award. I don't know if it was for first place or if it was for honorable mention. I haven't received that information yet. But I was pretty excited to find out that I won another award for that. And then for my website is now fixed, although it's not my same website I had. It's now my blog, but it is at carolpre.com, carolpre.com.
Yay. All right. Yeah, I know you went through an odyssey with that. And I was getting ready to jump in right when you finally found somebody that helped you.
I was online with you the same time I was talking to the guy that was working on my site.
Yeah. Oh, man. But, yeah, and congratulations again on the award. The only reason I didn't mention that in the outset, because I wasn't sure whether that was public knowledge yet, or you could disclose that publicly, so I didn't want to blunder.
Yeah, well.
Say something I wasn't supposed to.
Yeah, that's okay.
But, yeah.
They're supposed to let me know next week which place I got, but I'm going to be on vacation next week, so I won't be around probably to publish it on social media. So I did post it on Twitter, and I have not posted it on Facebook or any of the other sites yet.
Well, congratulations, and definitely not a surprise to me. Yeah,
what was to me?
I know you love my LinkedIn comment about you the other day about, well, if it's the Carol Preflatus project, you know it's going to be good. That's true.
Well,
I mean,
I hope so.
You've got track record. But keep up the great work,
so.
Carol. And thank you so much
for
participating tonight. I love getting your take on it.
No problem.
Well, you take care
I'll
and have. All right. Have a good evening, Carol. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right, and we're going to continue the conversation tonight with another perspective on NaNoWriMo. And joining me now is award-winning author and editor Sandy Lender, who is a NaNo participant this year. And, yes, so we're going to get an active participant who also has participated in past NaNos. So, Sandy, you are live. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good evening.
Evening. And how did day one go for you?
You know, day one, I managed to write on the actual official NaNo project a whopping 288 words. But, I have a day job, so
right.
I had to write. I had to finish off an article for the day job, had to edit some stuff for the day job. In the day job, the magazine goes into production Friday. So there was a few things I had to do for that.
Yeah, you're the editor of an industry magazine. So, yeah, it's serious pressure and clients and things like that. Yeah.
You had to take care of that. The thing is, I did declare an official project that I'm working on for NaNoWriMo. I do have a project I'm going to work on for that. And so I did, put in some words on it. I have, though, another project that I'm trying to finish up. I'm almost done with a novel that needs to be done, like lickety-split. I need to finish this thing and get it to an editor, get it to the betas. That thing has to be completed. I'm so close to done. So I put in probably 1,000 words on that today. So, yeah. So I can't really count those words toward my NaNo goal, though.
Right.
So,
but
yeah.
You are
so
good at these. I mean, you're the founder of the Marathonarium anthology, and so I mean, obviously, you're good at these marathon writing things. I always see you participating in them, these two-day things, these three-day things, NaNoWriMo being a month. And, because you just recently, it wasn't just like within the last few weeks, didn't you do like a weekend novella writing challenge or something like that? There's a writing.
I did the.
My brain's gone blank.
I did the 3-day novel contest.
That's it.
Back on
That's
Labor
it.
Day weekend, I did that. Yeah.
That's it. That's it. That's what I was
mm-hmm.
thinking of, because that was kind of fresh in my mind. Because remembering that you went into that, went into your writing bunker and emerged, right on the cusp with the completed work. So,
went to the writing bunker and didn't shower for 3 days. Yeah, yeah that.
You know how to do this. But what is your history with NaNo, just to give folks a little overview of how long you've done it?
Well, I went to my NaNo profile and looked up, because I couldn't remember. I've been doing it for so long, I couldn't remember all the stuff, all the stats. But it looks like the first year I did it was 2009. So it's been a little while. I know that there's been a year or two in there when I didn't officially, declare a project. I mean, I know that there's been a couple years when I didn't do it just for some reason or another, right? Mm-hmm. But I started it in 2009, did some stuff. I know that one of the projects that I did publish from NaNoWriMo was that Gentle Dragons novel, Move the Stars, and that one was mm-hmm. a finalist at the Imagine Awards 1 year. So that's a mm-hmm. project that I did during NaNo. Got mm-hmm. over 50,000 words in there, after NaNo, these projects, you finish them up, you let them sit for a little while, let them simmer, come back to them with fresh eyes later and add stuff to them, edit the crap out of them, send them to an editor, do that kind of stuff, and then publish them up, right? And so that's how that thing, that was that thing's lifespan, right? But,
right.
But I've been doing it for a little while. The site will let you see your statistics. It'll tell you here's how many words you've done, like, over the lifetime of Nano. And I looked that thing up, and it says I've done 151,904 words over the years.
Right.
And I'm like, boy, that doesn't seem like a lot. That doesn't seem right to me. And I started looking, and I don't have all of my projects on there.
Yeah, it didn't
so
log
since 2009,
right.
Not everything is logged. I'm like, well, you know what? That's fine. I don't do NaNoWriMo for the stats and the word counts. That's not why I
right.
do it. I do it to knock out some projects. And I think that for me is the goal. I want to knock out a project in November that I wouldn't get done otherwise, and that's what I use Nano for. I use it as like a tool to, okay, let me knock this thing out. That if I didn't have that motivation, if I didn't have this extra, you know, like you said, it's a really big thing in the writing community. If I didn't have this really big thing rooting me on, I wouldn't get this specific little project out the door and done. That's what I use it for.
Well, I was going to ask you that because with you, I mean, obviously, when you look at your, you know, list of projects and everything, I mean, you are a prolific writer. You know how to complete a project. I mean, you are a pro editor as well. That's actually something I was going to ask you. You know, why do you do Nano, being a writer that knows how to finish a project and does write on a consistent basis year round? I mean, you complete projects throughout the year, and sometimes in 3 days, like you just said. So,
right.
So it's a I was curious as to why you did it currently. What do you find to be, and feel free to be candid, because I mean there's always pros and cons, of course, and we're not averse to discussing a little bit of that. What do you find to be the pros and possibly challenges of Nano for various kinds of writers?
Well, I was hearing what Carol was saying a few minutes ago, you know, about the way NaNoWriMo can kind of set you up for burnout. I mean, I think if you're a writer who doesn't have a schedule, I mean, if you're a writer who doesn't have that, and I don't want to call it discipline because I don't want to throw, you know, any negative connotation into this, but I mean, if you don't have a regular schedule for whatever reason, I mean, if you can't fit a schedule into your lifestyle. You know, if you don't have that, you know, the month of November, pushing yourself and forcing yourself into something, you know, could set you up for, I don't want to say depression, but it could set you up for disappointment in yourself later. I mean, let's say you do this in November and you get this thing done and you have that emotional high and the dopamine hit and, oh my gosh, I did this and I set myself up on a schedule and this is awesome. Well, what if you can't carry that over in December? What if you get into the middle of December and the holidays and the rush and all this stuff interrupts your schedule, and that all of that preparation that you did in September and October, preparing for November, setting yourself up for this monumental goal, and you hit the goal, and then in December things crumble and you can no longer carry on with this huge commitment. Well, do you become disappointed? I mean, do you feel defeated? Does that destroy what you built? And I think that you can, as a writer, suddenly feel like, well, darn, I can't keep up with what I was doing in November. I can't keep that up. I can't sustain that. Therefore, I fail. And I hope that no one feels that they're failing if they can't keep that up. I hope that they don't feel that burnout. I hope that it doesn't – I hope it doesn't happen that way to writers, because you should give yourself grace. You should give yourself – room to, you know, relieve yourself from that fast-paced schedule. You should give yourself time to, you know, slow down, repair, recover, and fix a new schedule, a different schedule if you need to. And so I do see how, you know, pushing yourself for a month to do this specific word count goal every single freaking day might set yourself up for disappointment later. And so I do see that as a con or as a downside. But
I've seen that happen to some writers. I've actually witnessed that with some writers and talked to them about it. And as I've always told them, I said the important kernel to get out of that experience is that you've gotten to a rhythm of writing regularly or consistently. That's the key. You know, not worrying so much about beating yourself up on the word count, but staying consistent on your writing.
Right. And whatever consistency looks like for you is good. I mean, if consistency is every other day, awesome. In my book, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. If consistency is for the new mom who can only write for, half an hour every other day, awesome. You go, girl. You've got this. If consistency is you can write for an hour every single day before work, that's awesome too. I mean, whatever consistency looks like for you in your life at this particular juncture, then that's what you go for. That's what you get and do it.
Agreed.
That's what I think. Mm-hmm.
Agreed. Yeah. That's what I think is important, just getting into some kind of rhythm. But that being said, what are some of your tips for new NaNo participants? Do you have advice, Sandy Linder advice? Got to ask that.
I found that the support that the NaNo website offers, I found that to be useful. And if you're new at this, there are these badges that you can get. And I know it might sound kind of cheesy, but when you go into the NaNo site and you update, okay, here's my word count today. This is how many words I wrote today. You type it in and you get a little, you can get a badge for updating each day. And if you update like 3 days in a row, you get a badge for that. If you update, a week in a row, you get a badge for that. And there's like a little dopamine hit you get when you get your badge. And it's that participation trophy mentality, right? But doggone it, it's nice.
Sure.
It's nice to get your little badge for participating, right? And I think that is a nice thing. If you're new to this, participate in those little extra things. Go to the website. Find some writing buddies on the website. Find your local, your regional or your local writing group. Find your NaNo group. And if they have a write-in that's happening in person, go participate in that. My local group is going to have 3 write-ins in November up at the local Barnes & Noble. It takes me 30 minutes to drive to it. But doggone it, I'm going to go do those things. Go to those. We write for 2 hours. They'll have writing sprints where you sit there and you type away with people that, you only see during November each year. And I recommend doing those things because it's just a way to help, motivate you and boost your morale and just get into it and get involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the things I recommend for the newbies. Mm-hmm.
So let me go ahead and as I asked Carol, though, I want to give you a chance to give us an update on what you're up to lately and also to share with the audience how to connect with you as far as following your storytelling adventures.
Okay. All right. Well, what I'm up to lately is a whole lot of writing and I'm doing a whole lot of marketing lately. I've got I'm going to be at Conjuration later this month because I needed to make a trip in the middle of November while trying to write 2 novels. So I'll be at Conjuration up in Atlanta. But that's going to be cool because I'm sharing a table with another author and I'm on, I think, 7 panels. So that's going to be cool. That's going to be a good opportunity to get out and sell some books and meet some more people. But yeah, if people want to follow me online, my website is authorsandylender.com, and that's a good way to follow me because from there you can find all my socials and all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Sandy, because you've done it, you're doing it, and I didn't realize. Yeah, you have if I tally this right, a 14-year history of Nano. So we've heard from two longtime Nano participants, with Carol 11 years, you at 14. That's not too bad. We're getting the pro perspective. But thanks for calling, and don't worry, when you travel into Conjuration, you have a new Duran Duran album to listen to, so that's a bonus.
That's right, all the way up and back. All right.
But thanks for taking some time tonight, Sandy. I appreciate you.
All right. You take care.
All righty. Night. All right, folks. And, that's awesome. Yeah, definitely 14 years in Nano, following Carol's 11 years. And so, to finish up our perspectives tonight, I have yet another award-winning author and screenwriter and filmmaker who I didn't know if she was going to be able to call in earlier, but it looks like she has, so this is awesome. So I want to welcome aboard tonight to give her take on Nano, and she is doing it this year, and the one and only, the mighty Amy Lee McCorkle. Amy, your mic is on.
Hi, how are you?
Good to hear from you. Thank you, because I know you were incredibly busy today, but, November 1st, Nano's here, and I wanted to get you. Tell us. What's going on with you real quick?
I had a meeting with Nami of Louisville, and then about a play I'm doing, and then a documentary of it that I'm producing, and we're going to be performing it at the Fraser Arms Museum. And
nice.
Then I had a meeting with my producer on Letters to Matthew out of Texas, and we did like the last 40 pages where he gave me notes, and we cleaned up the script. And so that took about 4 to 5 hours. And then I had to incorporate all of that. And I didn't know if I was going to be done in time to come on, but I was. So.
Well, thank you. Well, tell us, give us your Nano history and you're participating this year. So, how long have you been doing it?
I've been doing Nano since 2003.
Wow, 20 years. Nice.
And I don't know, I've done it mostly, but really intensely, there's those first 4 to 5, those first 6 or 7 years, it was real intense. And I was totally a pantser. What's this outline stuff? What's this plotting stuff? I was like, no, I don't want to know the story. I want the story to unfold on me. And if I need to fix it, I can, that's as they say in filmmaking, let's fix it in post, I can fix it.
Right.
But, you don't want to say that on set. Because sometimes you can't fix it in post, and then you're screwed. but that's not the case with the book. You can always go back and edit. And I love Nano. I see no downside to it, because what it did for me, and I think I'm going to echo a little bit of what Carol said. It gave me it disciplined me. And when you have bipolar disorder, you need something to focus you. You need something to discipline you. So every tour, I would write 4 to 8 hours every single day. And I would write anywhere from 5 pages to 10 pages a day. And then I began to write year-round. And then that actually helps with my mental health. So the word count goal actually helped me. It helped me focus, and it gave me something to work towards. I'm a very goal-oriented, a goal-oriented person anyway. So, getting to 1,667 words, I felt like it was a reward. So then I would go get a Starbucks. Say, hey, I made it to 1,667 words. And that was the first time I did Nano, I would go to Borders on Hirschborn Lane, Borders Bookstore.
Oh, yeah.
Remember Borders?
Love that
and
store.
I remember it. I would get the Christmas blend coffee, a bagel with cream cheese, and I would sit at the same table, same chair, every single day.
Just go to work
across the street.
That's cool.
Across the street. And that's just, and I would handwrite because I didn't have enough money for a computer. I didn't have a computer, so I hand wrote the first one. So it actually took me more like 2.5 months to write 50,000 words. And but when I did, we all went to O'Charlie's. I finished the book, like the first draft. We all went to O'Charlie's. I got an alcoholic beverage. I got an apple. Like, I really treated myself because this was the first time I sustained writing something that long. And so, and I really have my discipline in writing and in a lot of other things, like thanks to NaNoWriMo. So I don't, I think NaNo, I love the pep talks you get from published authors. And like 1 year they had one from Neil Gaiman, and they just had wonderfully, they're insightful, they're funny, they definitely talk about the many stages of NaNo and some of it, like, right, so you were, how Sandy was talking about coming out of her bunker. I was like, there used to be this meme, and it was like, this is what you look like at the beginning of NaNo, and this is what you look like at the end of NaNo. Like, in the first one, you're all, you know, coiffed and clean and all that. And in the second, and then in the last picture, your hair is like it's like you got your hand on one of those things that'll make your hair stand on end. And you're just all, you know, you're just, you're half insane by the end of it. But to me, that's part of the joy. That's part of the journey. And I really love it. And so this year, I haven't written a fiction book this year, so I wanted to do one, and I wanted to write kind of like a mob story, but I wanted to do a different twist on it. And so I increased it, so the mob boss is a demon, and another hero, like the triangle, he's an angel, but he's not, like, always good. Sometimes he does bad things. So that's the idea. And, and what I did was, because I knew I was going to have to be in meetings all day today and then, like, and polish up the script, I, starting at 12:01 last night, I wrote my words.
Very nice. Very nice. And what would what would your advice be to new NaNo participants? What would Amy Lee McCorkle give advice?
One thing
advice
I would tell, drink plenty of water because you're going to be drinking tons of coffee.
Yes.
I think,
yes.
I think
it's in their logo. Coffee's in their logo.
Yeah. lots of snacks, like at the ready, easy, edible. Like you could like stick something in the microwave, you know. And to me, someone has to make sure I eat, make sure I do all those things, because I don't give a shit if the dishes need to be done. I don't give a shit if the laundry needs to be done. The only thing I really am really intent on making sure I remember is feeding and watering the cat.
Yeah, got to take care of the cats. Yeah, I can relate. Absolutely. That's awesome. Well, all right. As we got a couple more minutes in the show, so I want to give a chance again to go over an overview of what is going on with you currently and how can folks find you.
Okay,
online.
You can find me across TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, whatever it's called now. Look, I don't. People make it maybe X, but it's Twitter to me. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Instagram. I'm pretty much across most of social media. And I also just launched a publishing house, but it's a little different. We look for extraordinary stories about ordinary people.
Nice. Nice.
So it's called Luke Library Publishing House, and Luke passed away.
Your cat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Your cat.
Yeah, Luke passed away last March, and then I got Nancy. Nancy's the new cat. But we named it after Luke in honor of him.
That's awesome.
And
that's awesome.
And you can easily submit. I'm writing, like, I've got three there's three projects already with that producer. I was talking about this in the chat room. I connected from an, I'm taking an accelerator course, so I'm a little broke. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm a lot broke, but it's worth it because I've already connected with a guy whose finance, who the financier we're working with is a longtime friend and financier of Kevin Smith.
So, fantastic. Well,
that's really,
we're gonna have to...
really like, yeah. That, and I'm just writing, and I've got a documentary I'm shooting this month. We'll have two versions of it. We'll have a feature, and then we'll have a short that we're going to be showing executives to help raise the profile of the Letters to Matthew narrative script that we just finished going over today. And just a lot of stuff.
Well, thank you, Amy. That's awesome. And I'm glad you got to come in tonight to give a little perspective on the big kickoff to Nano. Definitely want to have you on to explore all these projects soon as a featured guest on the show, of course. So I'll be touching base with you on that. But thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
And definitely. Yeah, we're going to have you back very soon to talk about all of this. This is, yeah, that's always so exciting. Your world is always so exciting and inspiring. So you take care, Amy. Thank you.
Take care, Stephen. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. And, yes, folks, it's been another great Star Chamber show episode, and thank you for listening tonight. And got three perspectives from an 11-year veteran of NaNoWriMo to a 14-year veteran to a 20-year veteran. So, yes, yeah, we brought you some definite perspectives from folks that have done it successfully and participated for quite a long time. It's been a great evening with you all, and so definitely tune in next week at Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern, and we will have another great show in store for you. So tonight I have to sign off for now, but definitely if you're underway on Nano, keep at it. Keep writing consistently. That's the most important thing, and wishing you all the best and wishing everyone the best as we head into November. So good night, take care, and stay creative.